This is Jay Sekulow, an historic night on day two of the RNC. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, speaks from Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President to move the U.S. Embassy to this very city of God, Jerusalem, the rightful capital of the Jewish homeland. And just 2 weeks ago, the President brokered a historic peace deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. This is a deal that our grandchildren will read about in their history books.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
An American hostage, imprisoned in Turkey for 2 years, Pastor Andrew Brunson, said upon his release that he survived his ordeal with these words of Scripture: be faithful, endure, and finish well. If we stay the course, we will.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and it's good to talk to you. What a historic night. Even CNN, shockingly, had to acknowledge the significance of the event. And, of course, we're going to get into Mike Pompeo's statements. By the way, that was from the famous King David Hotel in Jerusalem. Logan's with me right now today, and you have been there. I have been there. I've been at that very spot. Yeah. What do you think of the? I'm going to ask, looking production to production, the DNC so far, the RNC so far, what's your sense?
I think the RNC has actually come off much more like a traditional convention. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. It feels live. It feels like there's energy there in the room, that they're doing this. And also there is something to say about being live in big, open spaces. If you're a production person, there is a sense of scale. If any of you guys are professional wrestling fans, they've been producing professional wrestling in a very small venue for the last 6 months, and it hasn't felt the same. They moved to a essentially empty arena, and it changes the vibe because all of a sudden it feels grand. It feels big. That's what I liked about the setups for the RNC. It felt big. It felt important, where you don't have to focus that much on production being over the top when really the people are there to see speeches. The people that will watch conventions are there to hear the speeches. And see great video packages. They did a great job last night with some of the video packages. I really enjoyed them. Are there hits and misses throughout both of these conventions? Absolutely. You know, not everything is going to be a home run. And I'd say, to me, night one was probably a bit stronger than night two when it comes to the actual...
And I like night two better than night one, but I guess that's just your different pace, different people.
Yeah, I felt that the first night had a stronger energy to it. Night two had more memorable moments.
Yeah.
But was not necessarily the performance of some of the people who I think there were just less TV savvy people doing these speeches. I think that you could tell the difference between those who grew up in front of the camera that were speaking and those that didn't.
I did think it was great though that the key issues that were touched on.
Yes.
So you had religious freedom, you had the pro-life issue, and then Logan, something you have been very involved in and instrumental in our position, and that has been the issue of school choice.
Yeah, our school choice initiative, I think, shaped a lot of this talking points.
Honestly, Brunson, Naren, and then Brunson again yesterday. I feel like we've had a pretty good impact.
And honestly, sometimes I felt like they were just reading our ACLJ emails, like verbatim. I was like, I'm pretty sure we wrote that. We didn't. But, I do think we were on the forefront of that issue. People were talking about it, but not near as much as when we started bringing it to light. And then it was really the focal point of a lot of the speeches. Almost everyone brought up school choice, whether that was the First Lady, whether that was Tiffany Trump, whether it was Eric Trump. It seemed like the majority of the people were bringing up school choice the first night with Tim Scott, obviously, and then now last night, pretty much throughout the whole show. There was even that great video package of school choice that was done with Vice President Pence. I thought that was really well done. So overall, I'd say production was solid. The show itself, the convention was good. I think that sometimes less is more, and the RNC is showing that you didn't need a big giant virtual reality set and trying to, you just need what people are watching cable and broadcast news for. That's why, it's not that hard to just say, okay, let's do that. And the live audience, I think, helped last night for the First Lady as well.
I'd like to have your reaction to these conventions, how you see the differences about the issues as well. Our phone lines are open. We'll take calls early. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ to Matching Challenge campaign. Last couple of days here, folks. We want to finish strong. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, remember, it's 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, somebody I've known well, I consider a friend. I've known him since he was in Congress. He did a great job in his speech in laying out kind of the foreign policy vision of the administration, but also the success. And, of course, how do you forget the opening of the Jerusalem embassy? I mean, I was there for that historic moment. It was incredible, to say the least. Having said that, he's getting flack today, and he did yesterday, from some that are saying, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. It violates the Hatch Act. And it doesn't, by the way. There's been thorough research done on all of this. None of this is done by accident. And I will tell you this also, taking one step further. It's what he also said, but who he said it about. And it was yesterday. It was in the room with the president, and we had Pastor Brunson and Pastor Nairn. And the president, and I said on air, and it's true, that three of those people we represent. Now, we in different capacities. The two pastors, obviously, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice allowed us to do the legal work on that. As it relates to the third client in the room, that's the president of the United States. And, of course, I do that, Jordan does that, and our lawyers that do that are in our individual private law capacity. But it was pretty, you can imagine for us, It was a pretty big moment looking at your three clients in the room together during this convention.
Yeah, it should be a big moment for anyone who supports the work of the ACLJ. Yep. Also, you've heard these stories for years now, and you see that they become forefront news stories. I mean, we even heard last night, Mike Pompeo also brought up Brunson, Pastor Brunson. Let's take a listen to that.
An American hostage imprisoned in Turkey for 2 years, Pastor Andrew Brunson, said upon his release that he survived his ordeal with these words of scripture: be faithful, endure, and finish well. If we stay the course, we will. May God richly bless you, and may God bless our great nation, the United States of America.
I think that was, again, the fact that it was, and this shows your support for the ACLJ in action. I mean, I hope that's what you're seeing through this. I mean, our clients, and I say your clients because you are supporting our work, it's you too, are being mentioned right there by the President of the United States, by the Secretary of State, 2 days in a row. So you're talking about impact. And of course, listen, God was very good in the release of these pastors and the others that were held captive. And the President deserves a lot of credit for the tremendous efforts he engaged in. But again, without your support, it doesn't happen. So I just want to first say Thank you to all our ACLJ members. And I encourage you, if you've not yet supported the work of the ACLJ and you're able to do so, to go to ACLJ.org and do that. That's ACLJ.org. I want to take a call early out here, Logan, if we can. And then I want to get into a little bit. We may do this in the next segment. We're getting into the school choice issue, too.
Okay, let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line two. Jerry, welcome.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. And there's a reason it's a team, because it's all a team. And the first
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. And you're part of that client. Team, Jerry. You are.
Well, it's fun to interact, and it's fun to hear other people across the country, including that guy who called in CNN, says, I haven't heard God and the Democrats, I'm voting Republican.
But yeah, I did see, I saw that.
So the one thing I was pointing out, and I said your other son,
Jordan,
about the 20% in the middle. And Logan was talking about big production with small people, real people. You can see them and you can hear them, and they're regular people, and that's going to hit the 20% in the middle that we need to get voted.
Yeah, Jerry, I agree with you. I think that this really tone-wise worked. I watched all of the DNC. I've now watched the first two nights of the RNC, and obviously there are certain times where you feel sure these are more relatable to you because the issues may be a little bit more relatable to you. These are issues we talk about every day, whether it's pro-life causes, whether it's Israel, whether it's Pastor Brunson. Like I said, this kind of play in the greatest hits of the ACLJ in the nights of the RNC. So I get why people also watch it and go, yeah, this excites me more. But I think you're right. From a production point of view, you get to see regular people, people who are not all media trained. And I think there is some, it's a little more genuine. But overall, I thought it was a good night. I look forward to tonight.
Tonight. So you've got Mike Pence speaking.
That's right.
We got the former director of national intelligence, acting director of national intelligence, and former ambassador to Germany, Rick Grenell. Who else is on the list?
We'll get the full list pulled for tonight.
Yeah,
there's put that in the chat. I'll read it out.
It's a pretty big. I think it's going to be more of a foreign policy again, kind of a foreign policy focus.
I'd say.
And national security.
When they first announced that President Trump was going to be speaking every night, I was a bit nervous and hesitant. I thought, that's an interesting move. I don't know if that's good.
But it's not.
I thought it could be good for ratings. I thought, obviously, where the president goes, so do eyeballs. So I understood from that point of view. But I like that it's actually more like special, unique moments, and they're memorable moments. They are moments that, again, will last. Not unlike his State of the Union, which, like we said before, the State of the Union this year, I feel like, is one of the best of our lifetime. The negative with that is that COVID-19 hit so shortly after that. I don't want people to forget what happened in that State of the Union and how impressive it was, whether it was the Tuskegee Airmen or whether it was all those big moments. I feel like he's replicating some of that tonight or in the last few nights, whether that is, again, the naturalization and of people that were coming in legally. I thought that was a great moment. Big moments from the president. I like these little appearances. But tonight, here, I got the list for you. I'll go through most of them. Vice President Mike Pence, obviously, is sort of the headliner. The Second Lady Karen Pence. Now, some of these may be 2 minutes. You never know.
Right.
Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee.
We know.
Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa.
Yep.
The South Dakota governor, Dan Crenshaw. You all know him. He's become not only a representative of Texas, but you know him as just a political figure, as someone who everyone knows. We have a bunch of Lee Zeldin, Ali Stefanik. And then obviously said former acting director of national intelligence, Richard Grenell, Kellyanne Conway, a long list of people that are going to be on there. And we go over and over again. Executive director of the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers of Minnesota.
Yeah, I think
that's honestly, those are the ones that are interesting.
Yeah.
It was like the lobster guy last night. Like that was kind of fun. Like it was fun to hear that something just a little different. And Laura Trump. And who else? Anybody else here in here that I miss? I will go through the president of the National Association of Police Organizations. It is going to be another packed night. The president of North Carolina chapter of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. So you're hitting a little bit of everything again tonight. Maybe that's what I like, is that where there were really, I feel, big, strong themes. The DNC had all those themes. What I like is this, and it's how I like my entertainment. This is a buffet every night. This is a little bit for everyone every night. So if you like your national security, you're going to like tonight, but you're also going to like it because you got a little bit of the truckers and you got a little bit of the Frederick Douglass Foundation and you have
a
bit of a mix.
Player.
Yeah, and the first night you had obviously Herschel Walker, and you mix it up, and I think that's what makes this interesting. Then actually, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe the key to what's making this so much more fun to watch is that the topics change person to person. Sure, there's some
the
general thought
theme, yeah,
but they're not the same thing on repeat for 3 hours, and I feel like that's what happened at the DNC.
Yeah, let's go ahead. We'll take another call. In the next segment, I want to get into the school choice issue. We'll take your calls on that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Kay in South Carolina. A bit of a controversy that came out this morning. Go ahead,
Kay.
Yes, I wanted to ask. Hello, am I?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay. I wanted to ask about the controversy that you just mentioned about a comment that I heard that Hillary Clinton made to Joe Biden about not conceding the election.
Yeah.
And I know that there's an article on Fox News this morning about Representative Crenshaw saying that's eerie. Now, what do we need to do about that? Is there a way to investigate the election? Is there a way to try to have something in the background that will prepare and protect it? What do we do?
Well, Kay, this comes from the show The Circus, which is a Showtime show, which is phenomenally well done. They usually do it during the campaign seasons. And it's a documentary. It's a docuseries that almost in real time, I'm not sure when they initially recorded this interview with her, but Hillary Clinton said, her quote is, that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are focused and relentless as the other side. So what they're saying is, essentially, is that whole mail-in voting thing that you've heard so much about, this is the end goal. The end goal would be to drag this out over and over and longer and longer and longer to where eventually they hope if you get to all of this, then you have an answer there. So we do have the clip from that, don't we? Okay, I didn't realize that. Here is Hillary Clinton. I didn't have to read it to you. Here's Hillary Clinton on The Circus on Showtime that just aired, what was it, yesterday? There you go.
This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
So let me tell you what this means. There's going to be, the legal work has already started, by the way, because you have challenges that are already in place on this ballot initiatives and ballot harvesting and, you know, someone being able to send a ballot at home, no verification, someone picks it up and they bring it in and get it counted. Those are being challenged. The DNC is bringing challenges. The RNC is meeting those challenges. Some of my former colleagues from the president's cases are handling that. Then you have, and there may be some that the ACLJ get into when it becomes constitutional issues, which most of them are, but the key ones. And then there's going to be the post-election counting, a la Bush versus Gore, but we now have a framework under Bush versus Gore. So I think, look, I think this is going to be, I don't think the election's going to actually be that close. Maybe I'm wrong. The polls say it will
that's
be.
Only if it's necessary.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm not, again, you can vote for whoever you want. I'm just saying, I think it's going to go one way or the other pretty dramatically. But that's just me. What do I know? All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org if you're able. Last few days here of our matching challenge campaigns, we can really use your help and come back. School choice on the top of the agenda. What does that mean for you? How are schools going for you?
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You know, we got involved early on when the pandemic kept hitting and it looked like there was going to be problems in the schools, whether they could reopen or not, or whether they could provide online learning. I mean, I know that the virtual learning has been an issue in a lot of communities already. I know that we're we have friends in North Carolina, and we go up to that area pretty often ourselves, and that school system had to shut down their virtual. And then there was another school system where somebody basically, what do you call it when they like take over your screen? I mean, they...
Yeah, someone hacked in.
To the instruction. So this is difficult.
There was a Zoom outage the day before yesterday across the Southeast and most of the country.
Which means no schools using Zoom.
Right, which is primarily what they've been using for hours. And eventually they were able to get it back up and operating. That's just what's going to happen. There's going to be these issues that come out, but that's why we're so... You know, adamant about the school choice initiative.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's first play. The First Lady of the United States made a statement about this. Let's go ahead and play it.
He has made substantial investments in our historically black colleges and universities. This president also continues to fight for school choice, giving parents more options to help their children flourish.
Now, let me tell you this. We got involved in, and this was a really... Jordan and Logan. I think Logan came up with the idea of school choice, and then Jordan went on was Steve Hilton's program. We kind of announced the initiative, and I think right now we have 1,800 families we're trying to help. We've had some good resolutions on some. I'll go through those in a little bit. But let's talk about the initiative first. We wanted to work with local school boards to provide local needs to their local students. It should be student-centered. And, of course, we also just filed briefs at the Supreme Court of South Carolina where teachers unions challenged the initiative of the governor to take funds from certified funds available for this kind of thing to help the parents and removed it out. Said, no, we're not. The union says, nope, you can't use it for parents, for the students. And that is the kind of thing we think's wrong.
Yeah, it kind of morphed into that. Originally, the school choice initiative and the reason school choice, we started bringing it up, and I think the reason a lot of people talked about it even last night, was due to the fact that we were looking for real ways to engage, essentially right after the George Floyd murder happened, and there was obviously protests and then riots in the streets, and we're like, well, what's actually proactive things we can do to help these communities that need it the most? Well, how about the fact we removed that you get a different quality of education based on where you're born and where you live? If that's something we can do to help, that's what we did. So with the School Choice Initiative, the idea was to remove the zip code, to be the zip code breaker, where you can be able to pick and choose where you want to go to school that best serves your family. It now morphed, though, as kids, some kids are going back to school, some were not going back to school, to not only be involved in that. Look, and we saw what's going on in Wisconsin last night. This is still a direct response to that, as well as now talking about all kids and throughout the world, but really throughout the country with the School Choice Initiative, who are dealing with the real consequences of a lot of them not having in-classroom learning. And we are coming up with a lot of new and creative ways, and stay tuned because we're going to have some great new stuff coming up.
I can't wait for people to see that.
Coming up very, very soon in the next few weeks to announce that. I hope you guys are going to want to get involved in on ways that we can help continue to educate kids in the core values that you guys share.
Yeah, we got some great content coming. Let me give you some victories, though. In Georgia, we helped a disabled. And by the way, a lot of these cases, they're heartbreaking. It's kids with special needs, parents in very difficult situations, single parents. But in Georgia, we helped a disabled parent with two sons who needed laptop computers in order to complete their assignments during the remote learning periods. We sent the letters to the school requesting those computers be sent. The school has provided now the parents with the laptops for each of the children because they have the discretionary funds through the federal government's grants. And the ACLJ has helped a single mother as well as other families both in Texas and California. again, whose students, children, did not have the necessary computers needed for distance learning. They now have those computers. In California, we had a case where four sets of working parents in California contacted us because they were unclear as to what the child care and student supervision provisions were going to be under the local laws there, and we got that worked out. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but what we try to do with the ACLJ on this initiative is be relevant and respond at the speed of relevant to help these parents that are struggling to do this. And look, it's not perfect, even as Logan and I were just talking about. I mean, there were school systems yesterday that were completely offline because Zoom went down, and then they had the hacking situation. I guess it was a hack that took place in the Asheville, Waynesville, North Carolina, that area of the country, Western North Carolina. And it happens. And this is, it's difficult. So we want flexibility. And at the ACLJ, we are doing everything we can to get the flexibility for the parents. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Okay, let's go to Patty. He's calling in Missouri online too.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jay. First of all, thank you for everything you do. But sure. I just watched last night to the First Lady talk. I thought she gave a fantastic speech. She touched on a lot of subjects, but the dear old media said, oh, they didn't go touch anything as far as the issues. And it just breaks my heart that they continue to try and bash our
country. I'll tell you this, though. Even CNN, after Melania Trump was done, they said, well, you really can't say anything other than that was a really good speech.
Yeah, they said that they figured out a way because they said that she was great and she did a great job and it was a great speech. However, it contradicted everything that her husband stands for and everything the administration stands for. So they had their comments. Look, I've watched the coverage after and
so do
be
I.
Your own judge.
Yes.
Watch this stuff yourself. Don't listen to the talking heads on either side because you know there's three networks that are covering this, are going to cover it. One is going to give you one point of view. One is going to give you the other point of view. And the other one is going to give you probably still the other point of view. It's just be a judge for yourself. Watch this content. Deal with it. If you want to watch the coverage, that's fine. But you'll get so frustrated and upset because the narrative is regardless of what the content is. They're going to push the narrative they want to find.
I think that's
so
right.
So it doesn't matter. Just like when that MSNBC producer quit a couple weeks ago, she said this happened continually, where she's not even a conservative. She just said, I'm sick of them saying, if it doesn't fit our narrative, we're not going with it. They're going to find a way to say it was bad. Okay? Don't watch it. It's a waste of your time. If you want to do it just to get fired up before you go to bed, I guess that's fine. But I tried to watch it. It was very frustrating because the reviews were just completely, they were so biased and so extreme that it was borderline unwatchable television. If you want to find unwatchable television, it is the three-person panel that does the MSNBC post show. That is
unwatchable.
The worst I've ever seen. It's so awkward because they're all sat in this weird... If you want to talk about bad production, that's bad production.
Well, it's pretty hard to beat this production. I think we've got as good a production as anybody on TV, to be quite frank, or better.
Yeah, it was just awkward and weird. And they're, again, especially when nights like last night, where even if you don't agree with a lot of the statements, you can't really give it a huge negative commentary, but they have to find a way. So it just becomes awkward as they're grasping for straws to figure out, well, what was the worst thing that happened here? What's the bad thing they said here? And obviously they went after a lot of Abby Johnson about her pro-life stances. They went after a lot of people on this specific topic. Because they know they really couldn't say anything. But MSNBC was just saying, oh, the production was just too dark. Everything was too dark the first night. And then the last night, it was just too bright. Everything was too, I don't know, it was just too dark. I mean, it's so absurd. It's unwatchable garbage.
You know, Tiffany Trump, we don't have time to play the whole bite, but she had a great line in her issue on school choice. We believe in school choice because a child's zip code in America should not determine their future. That's exactly what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice with our school initiative. We've got our lawyers are jammed. We got a bunch of contacts. I see the contacts coming in every day. More of them came in today. We're there for you because you're there for us. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign with just literally, 4 days to go, I think, 5 days to go. And if you're able, any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ. Here in the United States and, frankly, around the globe, especially for those of you that enjoy this broadcast. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we're talking about day two of the convention. Logan's here with me. Interesting, because I think both nights have been very good. I thought yesterday, substantively, what I liked was the fact that the life issue was discussed, religious liberty was discussed, school choice was discussed. It was a variety of issues. Tonight looks like it's a variety of issues again, but it's also going to have some national security focus to it as well. I think one of the most memorable moments was clearly on the pro-life side was Abby Johnson, who came out of the abortion industry. And let's play number 54.
Life is a core tenet of who we are as Americans. And this election is a choice between two radical anti-life activists and the most pro-life president we have ever had. That's something that should compel you to action. Go door to door, make calls, talk to your neighbors and friends, and vote on November 3rd. Take action that reelects our president and do it with our very most vulnerable Americans in mind. The ones who haven't been born yet.
You know, I think it's interesting from Abby Johnson, who we've done different things with her before, and we appreciate all of her work in her speech last night. She brings up an interesting point, which she calls the Biden-Harris ticket two radical anti-life activists. Joe Biden, historically, not an anti-life activist, but has kind of kowtowed, because he had the whole Hyde Amendment.
Yeah, he did
all of
those Hyde Amendment.
Those were his bills. Those were his creations. But now, because he just wants to be the president, guess what? He's got to go for the most radical. Got to go for the most radical point of view. Same with Harris. Got to go for the partial birth abortions. Got to go for the full, doesn't matter, even post-birth abortions that we've heard about for years and years now.
Abortions.
Yeah, this is where she's right. They've embraced a radical point of view that a lot of people who genuinely are watching. Now, do I think a lot of the people who are watching the RNC and the DNC at this point in 2020 are undecided voters? Sadly, I don't think so. I think this is going to Comic-Con. This is going to your base and talking to them and reassuring them.
And making sure they're coming out to vote.
And reassuring them. And honestly, I feel like the last two nights have done a pretty darn good job at reassuring people that if they decide to go Republican, that they are being represented the right way. Where the DNC, I feel like the enthusiasm was not quite there. The production was off. The jokes were weird.
Well, they acknowledged that the production was off. They acknowledged that the comedian hosts were not good, and it wasn't. And substantively, if you think back of the memorable moment, all I remember is everything looked like a Zoom thing.
Yeah. The truth is,
you got real moments to remember, even if you're against the positions.
I think it's always a bad move if you're in politics to try to pretend you're cool. As soon as you start to pretend you're cool, or act like you're cool, or have Cory Booker at all of the
interviewing the other candidates, that was ridiculous. I was like,
you
say the cast of losers.
Well, I mean, that's what they were. I mean, whatever you want to call them. Okay, the people voted off the island. I don't know. That's what it looked like. It was just it was like a recap show, like the Tiger King post show, and that's what it felt like. And you sat there going, these people so desperately want to be cool.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They lose fact of the fact that people who are watching do not care if you're cool. We don't necessarily want cool. You want someone you can trust. You want someone who supports the issues you care about. You don't care if someone can crack a good joke.
I'd like to ask you about the T-shirt you're wearing.
You can't.
I know, but we can't
come back
yet.
The day after Labor Day.
You will then. Can I say what it says to our radio audience?
I don't know. No, make them come to Facebook or to watch online.
That won't be
or
good for watch our radio now. Network, so that's not fair to them.
Watch on the ACLJ app. You can watch the show live right
that's
now.
That's true, you can. But you can also listen on radio.
You can listen on radio, but if you want to see us, if you want to see what shirt I'm wearing, it's something coming soon from the ACLJ.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right,
We'll talk about that September 6th.
More on the life issue, more on foreign policy, more on school choice when we come back from the break. Take your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. 5 days left. I want to make sure I got this right. It's today, tomorrow. Yeah, 5 days left, folks. So we really could use your help. aclj.org for that matching challenge. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Just taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Sunday night, a Jay Sekulow Band concert. We do these in our Matching Challenge concert right at the kind of the end of the day here. We did two songs brand new last month, two new songs we did this month. By the way, both fantastic. Can I say the songs?
That's up to you, if you want to ruin the surprise.
Well, I'm going to just, people like the song. Okay. They're going to really want to listen.
Okay, sure.
So we did Badge by the band Cream, which is a fantastic tune. I played drums on that. And then we played the Badfinger tune Day After Day, which I play drums on as well. So I was really pleased with the way it came out. I finished my takes yesterday and really pleased with the way it's. So we're going to pull some stuff from our archives. You'll have the two new songs from last month, two new long songs from this month. It'll be a lot of fun and some songs we hadn't played for a while. But again, hopefully soon we will get the band back in the same room at the same time.
And to clarify, it's on Monday night.
Monday night.
Monday night's the last day of the month. So
that's right. Monday night. So that's even better. So we look forward to having you watch that. One of the things you said, Logan, was, and we're going to go to this Jason Joyce, who was a lobsterman from Maine, was that you liked the fact that there were real people being
I think we can presenting. Kind of forgive sometimes the production of that. Necessarily, they're not used to reading a teleprompter or giving speeches. We saw that with Sandman last night. We saw that with the Lobster Man as well. You know, these aren't slick, you know, political, you know, guys who go up there and give speeches all the time. But you can see past it and see the real emotion there. And, I think that there's a call coming in about this. We should take it. And then I want to hear some from the Lobster Man himself. Let's go to Brenda, New Hampshire.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. I did watch quite a few of the Democratic whatever. The convention. And
can I take that from that, Brenda? You didn't like it? From your whatever?
My relationship with Jesus Christ held me back from going off.
Thank you. Nursing home. I'm glad to hear that. All right, go ahead.
I'm 70 years young, and I'm like so grateful. Number one,
right,
for your ministry and helping.
Thanks.
All that you do, it's crazy.
I appreciate
it. Seriously, my husband makes us listen to this religiously, and I'm glad.
I'm glad he's making you do that. Head. All right,
thank you.
What's your question or comment?
Night and day. No, Jay, night and day.
Yeah.
And I thank your son for his advice. I hope people take it. Don't even listen to the commentators because it's a waste of energy and time. But the difference between the speeches the last two nights, I've listened. I work a 3 to 11 shift, but I was like, I have to listen to these. They were just so inspirational. Kimberly, she had me in tears. I was crying. I was like, she was so on fire. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, so I don't want to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. And she just, she had everything in there. Seriously, the brainwashing, making us believe that this is a terrible country, the wonderful gentleman from Cuba, this was the second
Mr.
time
Alvarez,
his
what?
Story.
Oh, he was great, yes, also great.
He was, I'm sending that out to people.
Yes.
I have some coworkers, they're boasting, I never vote. Well, I'm sending that out and just saying, please listen. And if you know, reconsider voting and to vote properly, because if you don't, we are going to lose the soul of America for real, as Kimberly so eloquently put it.
Yeah, one of the people that spoke out last night was the lobsterman from Maine, Jason Joyce. Let's take a listen to this.
I live in an island with 370 residents, and lobstering is how we provide for our families. Maine's lobstermen are true environmentalists. We practice conservation every day. If we didn't, we'd be putting ourselves out of business. 4 years ago, the Obama-Biden administration used the Antiquities Act to order thousands of square miles of ocean off limits to commercial fishermen. They did it to cater to environmental activists. Although Maine's lobstermen don't fish there, Obama's executive order offended us greatly. It circumvented the Fisheries Council's input. President Trump reversed that decision, reinstating the rules that allow stakeholder input, and he supports a process that seeks and respects fishermen's views.
And Brenda, that specifically lines up with what you just said, which is it's appealing to people like you who are working 3 to 11 and are have different schedules than a lot of people and are working in different areas of the world, different areas of the country. I really liked that. I loved that speech. I thought that was again, you're touching on real people. This doesn't feel like a Hollywood show at that point. There's enough razzle-dazzle in it to make you excited and fun.
I think it's
emotion, and it works. You know, again, this is not, they didn't have to go in there and rewrite everything. You know, you had to go in there and just have people being themselves and telling their stories. And I think that's what's important here.
Something else you said, though, Logan, I think is really important, and that is, and obviously these individual stories are having a huge impact because we're knowing people's name, Mr. Alvarez. She mentioned Kim Guilfoyle. We talked about the statements from Eric Trump made a great speech last night. Here's what Mr. Alvarez said. This was what was lacking in the DNC convention. I think even if you're a Democrat, what was the memorable moment? It wasn't this. Take a listen.
My parents only wanted one person to decide my fate. Me. Not some party member, not some government official, not some bureaucrat. In America, I would decide my own future. I am so grateful to America, the place where I was able to build my American dream through hard work and determination.
You know, that was obviously from Mr. Alvarez. Some of the big criticism of the RNC have been their lack of acknowledgement, is what they've said, of COVID-19. Or lack of acknowledgement, which I don't think I think that's baseless, or the lack of issues going on in the country. I don't think this is necessarily where you need that. You need uplifting moments.
Yeah.
You need moments to get past what's happening in the world. And yes, you need to acknowledge it and move on. But what did the DNC do? They just soaked it in. Every speech was about everything that's wrong in the nation, everything that's bad in the country, every person who is bad, everything that was sad, everyone that was depressing. There's no hope. There was no hope. The hope was vote for us. Maybe we can figure this out. Maybe we can make it better. That's why I actually appreciate the RNC. They do spend time, and again, even Melania Trump spent time talking about COVID-19. So I don't know why they keep saying that. That's what Jake Tapper keeps doing. But when you look at the actual point of view, yeah. You go, okay, good. You're showing us a hopeful future. And we kind of need that right now. You don't necessarily need 4 nights of negativity in your life, especially not right before you go to bed. Why do I think that each week, each day of the DNC, and look, it's going to happen to the RNC too, was beaten in the ratings handily by American Ninja Warrior, by America's Got Talent, by replays of Whose Line Is It Anyway, by replays of the Goldbergs and American Housewife. Why was that happening? Why did last night, the first night, the RNC get beat by Love Island? Because truthfully, people are just looking for some form of positivity and escapism. And I think that is going to be the ongoing theme. And if the RNC can keep that up, and the word can spread that, hey, we got to hear some really inspirational, great stories.
That's exactly
and
the
they're
point.
Shareable content you can clip out and share. That's smart and that's good business.
Well, I think that was the whole message. I want to play another one, another bite in a moment. I think maybe something else from Mike Pompeo's speech. I think actually number one. This kind of set up to me the message when you got on back on the foreign policy issues. But again, memorable moments. Take a listen.
President Trump understands what my great fellow Kansan President Eisenhower said. For all that we cherish and justly desire for ourselves or for our children, the securing of peace is the first requisite. Indeed, the primary constitutional function of the national government is ensuring that your family and mine are safe and enjoy the freedom to live, to work, to learn, and to worship as they choose.
And meanwhile, Mike Pompeo was in Israel, and just a week ago, the United Arab Emirates and the Israelis executed joint agreements, bilateral agreements for trade, for tourism. This is gigantic. And they didn't bother mentioning that at the other side. And CNN, that was important because someone raised that yesterday, one of the conservative commentators. Yeah, well, that was important, but look at – and then they go back to the COVID-19. I got to ask a question to anybody listening to this radio broadcast right now. Does anybody not think that the government is doing everything they can for the pandemic? I mean, does anybody really, in their heart of hearts, when Joe Biden says, no miracle – and by the way, I'm going to say it again because I'm saying it every day. I found that to be horrendous. Because I was born in the 1950s, where relatives of mine, because they're my age, went to sleep one day as kids, were able to walk, and the next day had polio. And when Jonas Salk came up, and I said this yesterday, and I said it the day before, and I'm going to say it every day. And when Jonas Salk came up with the cure for polio, the polio vaccine, you think people were saying this is miraculous? I think they were. So when we get the COVID vaccine or the therapeutic that works for everybody, that's going to be miraculous. Miraculous is important. And it's like, Logan, it's like they're tone deaf on this stuff.
Oh, well, Joe Biden put out a tweet. He said, when they say the best is yet to come, that's a threat. So if you're saying good stuff is around the corner,
like a vaccine or a therapeutic,
that is a threat to America. And I'm sorry, there are many words I'd like to say right now I cannot say on the radio.
I know that.
But this is absolutely insane. This is where you have to take a real hard look at it. We don't tell you who to vote for and not to vote for. But if you think positivity is a negative, and you think by saying the best is yet to come, that's a threat to your society, I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. And by the way, Will and I do another radio show, and we have a full another hour. So if you want to hear us say some of those words, no, I'm kidding.
You may be on some networks soon that follow us.
Yeah. Find us on Logan Secular Reprogram. We'll be back this afternoon with another hour.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all my
I'm trying to think, is that, we played that one already, right? But we're going to replay it as part of the new concert. Well, that'll be in there. We had a lot of fun with that. We did double drums on that. No double drums on the two new ones because Badfinger didn't do double drums and Cream had, of course, just Ginger Baker. Cream just had, actually, Eric Clapton. It was a bass guitar, a drum, and Eric Clapton.
So you have a much bigger band than
Cream. We have a bigger band than Cream, and it sounds a little...
You have a bigger band than the Allman Brothers Band. You have, I think there's 14 people we're in about the secular band.
No, we have about the same size as the... We're a jam band.
Yeah. How, many, like drummer, Allman, how many drummers can you have?
It's well, Allman Brothers had two drummers and a percussionist.
Well, so do you.
Well, Elefante, it's true. He does play the percussion. So, yeah, but they did that for every song. We don't do double drums for every song, because sometimes Chris play guitar or I'll play guitar.
Yeah, I know. Not every song.
You complaining?
No, I'm just saying. It's you have a much more... exhaustive band. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, we're exhausting.
There's a lot of
them. We're a lot older. Well, not older than the Allman Brothers. About the same age.
No, they're older. Most of them are sadly no longer with us. But
well, that's not because of their age necessarily.
I don't know.
It was a rough lifestyle. All
right. Well, hey, phone calls. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. I'll slow that down. 1-800-684-3110. We do have some phone lines open. If you want to get your voice heard right now, I've got about 7 minutes left in the show. This is a perfect time to call. And, find out about your thoughts on the RNC heading into night three. The headliner, obviously, tonight, Vice President Mike Pence.
Yes, yeah. Mike, I think that, look, there's a lot of big ones. Mike Pence in there, Rick Grenell, the former Director of National Intelligence, former ambassador to Germany. Again, very instrumental in the Brunson release. Let me play Senator Rand Paul. Interesting, he spoke. He brought up a very specific issue. I thought it was really interesting. Take a listen.
I'm proud of the job Donald Trump has done as president. I don't always agree with him, but our occasional policy differences are far outweighed by our significant agreements. But more important than simple agreement is accomplishment. President Trump gets things done. When some in Congress wanted a so-called revenue-neutral tax plan, Donald Trump and I worked together to make sure that it was a true tax cut.
You know, we live in an interesting world where you have to qualify the fact that we don't always agree on everything. If that is the truth of how you vote, is you agree on someone 100%. I don't agree with anyone 100%. I don't agree with you 100%. I don't agree with practically anyone 100%.
You agree with yourself 100%? Not even yourself?
No, I contradict myself all the time. But you know, for other people, I think the fact that you have to reinforce that, hey, I don't always dislike what he says. I don't always like what he does. I don't like anything. I don't like that for in general. I think that's so sad. That's a sad commentary of where we are.
You know,
Rand Paul, I do like his statement. I agree with him because I don't agree with anything that, you know, everything that anyone says, but it is, it's a bit sad.
You know, it's interesting because I just was looking at some of the comments that were coming in on the Facebook sidebar here, and people were moved by the pardon, which I was too. And I think that, listen, Republican or Democrat, the Second Chance Act has been phenomenal. What the president did last night by granting that pardon, I think, was just this is what needs to be happening, and this was great. I don't know if we have sound from that, but if we do, I want to play it. But if not, I could summarize it for you. Basically, a guy that had a long prison sentence, the judge said, and the guy ultimately became a Christian, and the judge said, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's what he conveyed last night, but he went to the lower end of the prison term. Still, it was like 10 years. And then the individual that was pardoned said that he was going to dedicate his life to helping people get second chances. And he's done a phenomenal work, I think, in Las Vegas, Nevada, and his name is John Ponder. and other places as well. Do we have sound from him?
We do. Byte 19.
Let's play it.
My hope for America is that formerly incarcerated people will be afforded the opportunity to take advantage of the fact that we live in a nation of second chances. My hope for America is that law enforcement and people in the communities across our country can come together and realize that as Americans, we have more in common than we have differences. My hope for our great nation is to continue on this path we are on of being the most prosperous country in the world.
Well, I think this, I thought it was a great moment. I mean, I just thought it was a great, great moment of, again, memorable things that took place that say something.
Yeah, I was trying to think back on the DNC and what were the moments I remember. Obviously, I called out that moment of the Teletown Hall weird Zoom call and all that. But the only moment that I felt was, and I remember texting with you, is that I thought that was well done, was the Jill Biden's promo package. Her speech was okay, but her promo package
about
leading
taking
up to
her
it,
to the kids,
just the whole story. Very moving.
Yeah.
Very impressive. That's the one thing I will remember from the DNC.
But that's it.
That's positive. That's a good thing. Look, I want to give them the props for you. They did a great job on that package because I honestly didn't know a whole lot about her.
Yeah.
By the end of it was kind of wondering why they weren't putting her up as the as the candidate, truth be told. But yeah, it's one of those moments where that's one of the positive moments that maybe came out of there that I can see
the package
win.
On Jill Biden was good, and talking about the family tragedy that Joe Biden had, and here was this young woman, I think she was 26 years old, going to take over this family.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's a beautiful story. I think they did a really great job.
Not, other than that, and that was a good moment, I just don't recall great moments. I recall a lot of angry moments. Let's go to take a call here. You want to take?
Let's go to Terry.
Okay.
Terry, and quickly, let's go from Terry in Kentucky, and we'll try to get our last call after that.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, Terry.
I just wanted to comment on the RNC, and I agree with Logan that it's just wonderful to be able to tune in and be inspired and hear positive patriotic messages.
Absolutely.
And I thought that Melania Trump's speech was outstanding, and at the end, when in the dark Rose Garden, when she and President Trump walked off and the music, it was like a happy ending to a fairy tale. I just loved it.
Well, I think, Terry, that...
How did you like the way that was shot and that looked?
I thought it was good. I thought it looked well.
Yeah.
I thought it was well
done. She did a good job of the redo of the Rose Garden.
She did a good job. The Rose Garden is beautiful. I think that, again, I like the scale. I think the scale is really important, and I think they did a really good job scaling it. The reason the DNC, it all felt small.
You know,
it was all in a schoolhouse. It was all on a fake VR set, a green screen digital set. It wasn't tangible.
You know,
this is tangible and impressive. And that's where, honestly, the Trump campaign has always shined.
He knows how to do TV.
Is the arenas. And that's when you can't do an arena, figure out a way around it. Great job on the production point
Linda
of view.
Linda McMahon was a cabinet member. And she's now running
too.
The PAC.
Should we take the last call?
I want to say one thing about the, I just think there was a little, and we will take the last call. There was a little bit of criticism on some of the networks that the people that were in attendance at the Rose Garden were not wearing masks. Let me explain something. Everybody there got an immediate, before they were let in, COVID test with the rapid response.
Rapid test.
Immediately. That's how it works up there. So think through these things, Wolf Blitzer, who I happen to like, before you make these statements.
It's bad for, you know, it doesn't tell people they should be doing it. Cause they didn't.
The president's been clear, masks are helpful, we should do masks. Okay, he said it, he's done it, people are doing it. But at an event like that, it was okay. Everybody had a test. You know, Biden could have done that too. He decided not to because he was trying to make a political point. Take Delilah.
Yeah, let's go to Delia.
Really quick.
Delia in Texas, Delia. Here on the air.
Be really quick, Delia.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for everything. I'm so grateful for everything, and I'm glad that I donate every month.
Thank you.
It really makes me feel better that you guys are helping.
Thank you.
But my question is, can they really do something to Mr. Pompeo for being there?
For speaking in Israel?
No. Right. They can make it political hay. They'll start another one of their cockamamie investigations, and then it'll go to nothing because there was no violation of the law. And you know what? They know it. Joe Biden had, when they were doing the roll call, people in military uniform in one of the states. Come on. You know what this is. Petty politics. They had nothing else. They couldn't argue with the speech. You couldn't argue with the fact that Jerusalem's the capital of Israel, now recognized by the United States. You couldn't argue they just got a deal with the United Arab Emirates and Israel that the U.S. brokered. So what do? I don't like the venue of his speech. That's their argument. Support the work of the ACLJ in our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.